So I would like to go to the book of Ephesians, a letter written by Paul to Ephesus, and chapter 4. And it says this: "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be children tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray again that by your Spirit you will teach us, that you will use these words for your glory and your honor. May they be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was at my first junior high Bible camp in Wisconsin, my best buddy and I, growing up, would make sure that we would get into the same cabin and we'd try to arrive at the same time so that he would take the bottom bunk and I would take the top bunk. And at the same time, at that time, there weren't any bedside railings for safety purposes. Top bunks were at a sleep-at-your-own-risk proposition. So that first night, it was the typical night, sharing funny jokes, telling stories, before drifting off to sleep. Well, I fell into a nice, deep, and dreamy sleep. Then, the next thing I could remember was a swift breeze, and then a hard crack on my head and my shoulder, and then the rest of my body being driven into something very unforgiving. Well, it was a very quick wake-up call. I found myself sprawled out on a hardwood floor, moaning and groaning. "Mark! Hey, Mark! Are you okay?" "Oh, man, I don't know. My head and my shoulder, it feels pretty bad, man. I think I need some help." Okay, well, I'll tell the counselor." Clyde. "Huh?" he said in a slumbering tone. "Well, Mark seems to be hurt pretty bad. We need him to get to the camp nurse." He's like, "Why? What happened?" "Well, he fell out of the top bunk." And he says, "Well, just tell him to sleep it off and we'll see the nurse in the morning." So my friend allowed me to take his lower bunk, and I was just tossing and turning all night and in pain and thinking, "Oh, I can't wait till the morning so that I can get to that nurse." Didn't get a wink of sleep after that. And after morning came, we went to Clyde again, our counselor. "Hey, Clyde," my friend called out to the counselor, "we probably should get Mark to the nurse now." "Why? What happened?" Clyde said. "Well, don't you remember he fell out of the top bunk, fell and squaring his head and his shoulder?" "Well, for Pete's sake," says Clyde, "you should have made sure I was awake. I probably must have been dreaming. Let's get him to the nurse right away." So we found out that day when I went into the nurse that I actually had a dislocated shoulder and a big bump on my head, and I had to wear a sling for the rest of the week. Well, it made it a very different camping experience for me, but a very memorable one. And the other campers were very kind and caring and helpful, and they even prayed for me. And though I couldn't do all that much because of the hurt and being in the sling and all of that. I couldn't do capture the red flag and all those fun things that we all did. But I just remember drawing closer to God, and through it that week, it was good. It was good because I was around a caring community. And that's kind of like the body of Christ. When you're kind of hurting a little bit and you need some help, you're in the body of Christ, the caring community, who wants to build you up and help you to get back your body back in shape. Because when you realize when something like this happens, your body needs to be back into adjustment. And everything you try to do is to get it back into normal position or adjustment. And when something is out of place and is hurting, you begin to notice that everything is geared toward that. And making adjustments is not only what hurts, but others, you begin to seek them out, and they help you. So it could be a different kind of a hurt. Maybe you get your leg hurt and you're on crutches and they're helping. Maybe they're opening the door. But it becomes kind of an effort together to help you through. And that's the body. The church was meant to be a body. I mean, a whole body. Many of us want our own personal Jesus. We think that we can somehow believe in a God and worship on our own, separate from the church. Pastor Dan made this very clear last week, that this was never God's intention, and the Bible never teaches this. The Bible is a clear picture of the church as a body that cannot be separate from the head, which is Christ, and from whom everything else flows. It's from Him. And so it also is a body that God uses to build and equip each other to make us more effective for the world. So you cannot have a body without the head, and you cannot have a head without the body. They go together. And that's, again, the church. I remember when I was working for Fairview some time ago, I was with my boss. We were riding at another location, and I brought up spiritual things with her. And I asked her where she was at in her spiritual journey. She said, well, I've looked at many different religions, Islam and Buddhism and Christianity, and she named several. And I asked her, so what was the result? What was the result of your search? I was really interested at that point. And she says, well, the result of my search was that I figured out that I could go back home, and all I need to do is slide open my sliding door, and she lived in a very nice country home area, and go out into my patio and look up at the stars, and God is everywhere, and I know He's there, and I can just interact with Him and see that. I don't really need to go to a place to experience God. Well, she has maybe one point there, but she completely forgot or didn't know about the reality of the body of Christ to help you grow in your spiritual journey and walk. Because without the body, we simply cannot grow. In the same book of Ephesians, you know, it says in chapter 1, verse 20, that He brought Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated a man at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What a great verse. Because this shows that God made Him, Jesus, the ruler over all things, and then including the church, head over all things to the church, which is His body. And describing that further, was the fullness of Him who fills all things That means all things everywhere. As God fills us, the church, He fills us by His Spirit. And we become all things by Him and His Spirit everywhere. We become His hands, His feet, and we fill the world with Him. What a great plan. What a glorious plan. And we cannot do it apart from Him. And yet this is what He has called us to. What a great picture. So God's design is this. When we look at, again, Ephesians 4, chapter 11, is that He gave the church particular gifts to equip the people of God for the work of ministry. Well, it names some particular gifts here. Now, this is a little bit different kind of spiritual gift list than we find in some other places. It lists fewer gifts. It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then from there, he says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And so God's design was to give these particular gifts for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. These particular gifts. And it says they're apostles and prophets. Now the church was laid upon the apostles and the prophets. If you look at Ephesians, same book again, chapter 2, verse 20, it says, having been built, even 19, then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So it's through the apostles and prophets and Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. And this is why we can use this, the scriptures that God has given us. What a great thing that we can look into His Word and through His apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, and remembering that these are our teachers right here as we read and look into His Word. And then it says evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, these are people that He has given to His church for the teaching and equipping of the saints for the works of ministry. And these works of ministry are gifts that you will serve in. And there are more than just me as a pastor or shepherd or evangelist, even though that's in my title. But we're all evangelists in one way. And that you have been given gifts to share Jesus in different ways than I have. But we work together. And yet we're equipping one another for that work of service. And there are many wonderful teachers. Just look again at the list of teachers that we have for a Sunday morning. I mean, I look again at that list and I think, wow, which one would I even pick? There's so many wonderful things here to learn from and to grow from. And God has given teachers to help us being equipped for the body of Christ. So it doesn't have to be official staff pastors, but there's wonderful teachers, people that are evangelists right here that can help us grow and learn how we can be a witness in this world for God's glory. And then the purpose is for the building up of the body of Christ. And there is a when statement, until when? How do we get built up? Until we attain to the unity of the faith. Paul talks many times about the unity of the faith, being unified together in this body. It's amazing to me that we truly can go anywhere in this world, and we have had the wonderful opportunity of going to places like Brazil and Peru and Mexico, and I've been to parts of Germany and so on, and you can sense, you can really sense this when you're a believer And you can believe that this is the family of God. Wherever you go, that if they're believing in the same Christ as you, wow, it's amazing what God has done through that. And you can have conversation, even though you may not have the same words, but you sense the love of Christ together. You can worship, and many times similar songs that you're worshiping, only in a different language. God is, we have this unity of the faith, and this can happen in the body. It's important for the body, because as we have a unity of faith, the world looks and sees, how can such a diverse group of people be loving and unified in their belief together? That's a witness to the world. It's amazing. And then to increase in the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, this is so important. That, and knowledge is more than just knowledge, the cognitive knowledge which is up here, but knowledge of the heart. That when we read, this is the God's Word is our source of His knowledge, of knowing Him. And as we read His Word more and we're filled up with Him more, then we want to have His great and glorious knowledge and the knowledge of the heart that fills us up and makes us desire to follow Him more in life, every day, in every way, no matter where we're at. And so my encouragement is that we continue to study God's Word. And again, if you're new to studying the Word of God, as I always say, take smaller portions of Scripture. Maybe it be 5 verses, 10 verses. But pray before you go to God's Word, the Bible, and ask God, please speak to me through this, Your Word. Teach me, help me to know You more and to apply it to my life this day. Because every day is a new adventure with Him. It's learning, it's maturing and growing in Him. Which is the next point, is to reach maturity, full and complete. And so it says here, that it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is complete and full maturity. When do you think that would happen? I don't think until Christ comes again. And we have this whole life to learn and grow in Him, to become mature. So no matter where you're at in a spiritual journey, in your spiritual walk, we're continuing to grow. It never quits. And so this is what the body is about, to help us to gain more knowledge and maturity in Him. And it's a process. And we don't have to be embarrassed about where we are on the spiritual journey. You know, the body of Christ, the believer, needs to be open and honest and authentic before one another in every way so that we can grow. Because, you know, we come to Christ, we put our trust in Him fully, and He justifies us. He puts us on this place where, yes, you are a child of God. And yet we are growing. This is a process which we call sanctification. It's a process of growing in Him more and more every day. So we're not going to be perfect. It's like that. But we're growing in Him. And this is what the body is about. To help us grow. To help us deepen in our faith. And help us in our struggles, wherever it may be. And so, wherever we're at that point, we want to take that believer and grow them in the faith, so that we can be a body in unity and a witness to the world. So he says, what is the result here? So that we will pass the childhood of faith. We will pass that childhood stage of faith. When I was a kid, my dad was using a blowtorch on some pipes, I believe, in the basement. And I was watching what he was doing. I was very curious, you know, because you see this blowtorch and this blue flame coming out, and you know, and that looks pretty cool for a, you know, kid my age. Wow. And so he got done doing what he's doing, and he set it down and he said, "Now don't touch it, it's hot." I mean, it's funny what you remember as a kid, because when it's something like this, you do remember. But so he sits it down, and what do you think I did? Yeah, I touched it. And all I could hear was this and these blisters, these white blisters coming out of my fingers. And, whoa, that is hot. And he says, what in the world did you do, kid? Didn't I tell you it was hot? You know, parents will react that way. And that was my, I had to mature through that childhood, right? And every day for a few weeks, the memory was right there on my fingers. I don't touch hot blow torches anymore. I learned not to do that. And that's kind of in, like in our spiritual walk and journey. You know, sometimes we fumble, or we go into places where we don't realize that is a trap for us. And yet, we are maturing and growing, and as we are part of the body of Christ, and we have the wisdom of our elders around, they say, well, here's a better path for the future, and we can gain from that. What a great thing. That's why it's good to have people, both new in the faith, that are just, oh, they're so excited about what God has done in their heart, are challenging us in our faith to be speaking that truth to others as well. And as well, those who've been in the faith for a long time, that can help us to gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding, so that we're discerning in the same way in our faith. So we learn that maturity, and we won't be full and complete in that maturity until we see Christ, so we continue to go on. Then we're not fooled by doctrines, not guided by truth. You know, it is so easy to get fooled by the latest trends that crop up, not only in our day-to-day lives, but in the church as well. There are many things out there that we could grab onto, the latest church growth principles or this or that, or there's just so many things, and we need to discern, is this coming from the scriptures? Are we asking our elders in the faith, is this coming from the truth of the Word of God? Because we want to make sure that our faith is grounded in the truth. And then as we speak it to others, it's going to be truth. Truth is so important. It brings light to all things that are around us. Paul the Apostle himself, we need the gospel right, don't we, when we share it with others? Because he said that if anybody brings to you a gospel that's different than the one that we've brought to you, let them be accursed. Even if it's an angel from above that comes to you and gives a gospel that's something different, let them be accursed. He says it twice. This is very serious, he says. Why? Because we're dealing with people's eternal lives, eternal souls. And so we want to be careful. Even today, there's many people who do not believe in the absolute truth of the Word of God. You can have your truth and I'll have my truth, and that's great, and we'll all get together and this will be cool. And yet the Bible itself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus' claims are very exclusive, and that's hard in our world today to accept, because we want to be tolerant of everything out there, and maybe except for sometimes Christianity, right? The idea is that there is absolute truth, but that absolute truth leads us to life. That leads us to abundant life, life-giving truth. And we don't have to then. The picture here, as we read it, is that we will no longer be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. This picture is like you're out on the sea and kind of like this bobber, and it's going back and forth, and the waves, and the storm comes up, and wherever that the waves and the wind go, it's just going to go that way. But we must be firm in the truth. We must be firm in His Word and not be tossed about, because there's many people who are crafty and they want to lead you astray from the truth. So it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in every way in Christ, speaking the truth in love. A lot of A lot of us like this, you know, speaking the truth in love. Sometimes we forget about the in love part. It's just like, all right, I'm going to speak the truth. Boy, I'm going to speak the truth in love to this, you know, brother, because, you know, they're way off. Man, I need to speak the truth in love. And sometimes it's not so loving. So we need to remember that when we come to one another, that it truly is for the purpose of building up. We need to be truthful and upright, and that we need to check our motives, and that we are not self-righteous. We are speaking the truth in such a way that you love that one, that other person, and that we receive well. A lot of us don't receive well. It's hard to hear, you know, the truth, isn't it? We don't receive too well. We need to receive that truth in love so that we might be built up and equipped in this body of Christ. And so then we are to grow up into all aspects, it says, into Him who is the head, that is Christ. That's the purpose, that we might grow up into Him. And this is by using the gifts that He has given us. We are equipped when each member of the body does his or her work. So I like this picture too that it gives us of joints and ligaments and things like that. We all have those joints and ligaments, and when they're all working together, it works well. We can walk and everything's nice. The day that I went, you know, as being a star on this touch football team some years back, going 6 yards down one way, I saw everybody go that way, and I planted my foot to go that way, and I went, and my anterior cruciate ligament went out. It was gone. They're all standing around me. He's just faking it. He's going to get up and he's going to run to the end of the field. Nope, I couldn't get up. And I had to be held up by others. And my whole leg was wobbling like that, realizing that when that ligament's gone, you're not standing up quite as straight. And so every joint, every ligament, everything in it's important to the body. Each one of you have a gift for the building up of the body of Christ, and it doesn't work right unless you're there, unless you're serving as God wants you to. God has not short-suited you in your gift. You realize that? Because many people don't, I don't know what I can, I don't believe I have it. No, you do. God has given you a gift. One illustration I gave in the early service is like, just think, okay, of those who are taking care of young ones in the nursery or some of the toddlers. And, you know, some of them are just starting to learn things, maybe about Jesus for the very first time. You're ministering to them in that way. You're also ministering to them in such a way where you show the love of Christ by caring for them. Caring in a special way, that just like the touch of Jesus' hands to them. And also, at the same time, they may be in a Sunday school class learning the Word of God under teachers who want to teach them to grow deeper and deeper in their faith. See, that's a church working together. And both are equally as important because they're of eternal value. And that's what the body of Christ is about, working together in all ways. It's not one single part of the body that's more important than the other. We're working together for the glory of God and for the building up of His church. So all of this, it says, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And that's what I see. It's all around here. And for us to continue to build ourselves up in love so that when people come through the doors of this church or we're out there into the community, that people will see Christ in our heart, Christ in our lives, Christ in the church, everywhere they go. Every part of this building, on Wednesday nights, on Tuesday mornings, or in our homes, in Bible studies, in every place, that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that He will be the center of all that we do and say. God will build His church through love.